Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. Our speaker today is Mike Gillingham, reader at St. James. Today our talk is entitled Why and How to Pray. The readings this week are taken from Matthew 6, verses 5 to 15, and Matthew 7, verses 7 to 12. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
So this morning, our first reading comes, as Fabian said, from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. And in Luke's parallel account, this forms his response, Jesus' response to his disciples' request. Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
You can sit wherever you want.
If we can have our second reading, and then Mike Gillingham is going to... I think the campfire had an incident. Are you not burned? Thank you very much, sir.
The second reading is taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 12, and you might remember this from earlier on when we were learning the memory verse. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or, if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him. So, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Our Father, as we consider prayer, may we be constantly in touch with you. Amen. There were two questions, why pray and how to pray. Fabian, you didn't give me those answers, all the questions before. Never mind. The first, I think, is fairly simple. Why pray? Supposing I said that Jackie and I hadn't spoken for 2 years. This is my wife I'm speaking about. Or even 2 weeks, or 2 days. What would you think our relationship was like? I think you might consider that perhaps we were not on the best of terms. How can we have a relationship with God if we don't pray? Now, the how. Well, first of all, not like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. They like to be show off. Now, there is no requirement to pray on the street corners, but apparently some of them would pray regularly at certain times of day, and they would time their walk so that they reached the corner of the street. Oh, by chance, I just happened to be visible to everybody. Once upon a time, I was looking at Miss Marple, the BBC was showing, from the 1930s. And then everybody went to church, all in their best clothes, and showed off. That's perhaps less of a temptation now, but we can still show off how devoted we are to God by the wonderful way we pray. That's not how to pray. He says, when you pray, go into your room. Now, we do have to be careful here. For instance, the Lord Prayer that we're going to look at in a moment is our Father, not my Father, our Father, clearly designed for praying together. We are expected to pray, which is jolly good, isn't it, since we've been doing it several times so far in this service. We are allowed to do that, but there are lots of prayers that are solely between us and God, that we pray not so that people know how devoted we are, but because it's part of our relationship. And not like the pagans. They think they'll be heard because of their many words. They go on and on and on. And indeed, we can think of perhaps Buddhists who say, Om Mani Padme Hum, again and again and again and again. Or we might think of those who go past the prayer wheels in Tibetan temples and roll them, because each one is another prayer, and if we keep on and keep on and keep on, prayer isn't a magic ritual. Prayer is a conversation, and we can talk to him in various ways. And we have an example. Oh. This, then, is how you should pray. This is slightly different in Matthew than in Luke, because that's what Luke says. Matthew just
talks about it as part of Jesus' teaching. Now, I would be surprised if Jesus was less good at teaching his disciples a memory verse than Fabian was. I suspect he did give the Lord's Prayer on one occasion or two occasions or three, probably quite a number. And they were probably better at remembering things than we are, because we're not used to doing it. We've got sheets of paper in front of us, which is what I'm using. So I suspect that Jesus taught this time after time, so they remembered it. But we should remember also ourselves that this was probably originally in Aramaic. And it's interesting, Matthew, when he comes later to talk about sins, uses the Aramaic debts, something you owe, like a monetary debt. Whereas Luke uses a more Greek expression of trespassing, putting your foot in the wrong place. Haven't we all put our feet in the wrong place at different times? Often in our mouths. So let's look at this prayer that Jesus taught his disciples as an example. Have you ever thought about those two? We say them so glibly, and I think it's one of those things about the Lord's Prayer. We say them glibly, but what a contrast! Our Father in heaven. To give you the technical terms, God is immanent, close to us, but transcendent above all, close and loving, like the best father ever. God cares for us, and we have that intimate relationship with him. Yet he's almighty. He made everything. That lovely picture we had on the video of all those stars and planets in space. God is almighty and beyond our understanding, but close. Hallowed be your name. And easily misunderstood. It's not about not using God's name as a swear word, although I would advocate not using God's name in that way. But I'm going to borrow from John Harewood, who used to be a reader here and then went to be ordained, who was also head of English at Richard Hewish College. And he would frequently quote from Shakespeare. So let me do that. He who steals my purse steals trash. 'Tis something nothing. 'Twas mine, 'tis his, and has been slave to thousands. But he that filches from me my good name, robs me of that which not enriches him, and makes me poor indeed. And that is said by Iago. And by robbing the good name of Desdemona, he causes Othello to murder his beloved. By stealing that good name. It's one of those ironies. And it's possible to steal God's good name. Think of the damage done by John Smythe and Peter Ball in their abuse. They have stolen God's good name. But it's too easy, isn't it, to point to others. When we pray, hallowed be your name, we lay upon ourselves the obligation that when people look at us, they will honor God's name, not think that it's something awful. If we don't behave in such a way to let our light shine as we've sung, then we abuse God's name. This should be our prayer. God's name be hallowed. And this is what we should be seeking. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom is coming, and it's just not a matter of the past, it's coming now, and we should seek that it be extended. Oh, that it were here now, like in heaven. How sad it is to hear those needs for the Barnabas Fund. Hey, this world produces plenty of food. People can be kind to one another. Oh, that God's kingdom would come. And we are bound to do all that we can to extend it. And yes, we're allowed to pray for our needs, whatever they are, and the needs of others. Jesus follows up this prayer by healing people who are in need. But we're asked to give us today our daily bread, what we need today and not what our greedy selves desire. We're praying for the extension of God's kingdom. And God wants us to be fed. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to enjoy ourselves. God is not wanting us to be miserable all the day and come here in solemn misery. We're to be happy. God wants us to do that. But we're asked for what we need, not all we would like. This is where I step away from the name it and claim it people. We're not asked to name whatever we want. I want my daily fortune. In fact, I want my fortune for the rest of my life. No, I want enough, sufficient. And as I said, this is the Aramaic form, something we owe. But whether we use it something we owe or where we've gone where we shouldn't have, it's something wrong. And it's present continuous. Perhaps it should be translated, be forgiving our debts as we are forgiving others. The two go together. They're not reliant on the other. In other words, God won't forgive us if we don't forgive somebody. But the fact that we're asking to be forgiven binds us to forgive others. That's the way we should be like day after day. Forgiving and being forgiven. Being forgiven and forgiving. The two go together. And perhaps the most misunderstood bit of it. Lead us not into temptation. It doesn't mean that God leads us to do what is wrong. The word used for temptation is something very much stronger. Temptation is not a good translation. The Greek perasmos is something severe trial. We rightly ask not to face what those people in Nigeria are facing, what those people in Laos are facing. That severe trial. Let's pray that we continue to be able to worship God together without fear that the priests are going to come in or a mob are going to stone us. But when we come to trials, and I guess that most of us in our life will face a trial, we pray, deliver us from that trial. Lord, please, may we not be persecuted. But if we are facing severe trial, Lord, deliver us from the evil one. Now, when we say this in church, usually we add that. It's not in the very oldest versions of Matthew's Gospel, but it was added very soon after. And it really rounds the prayer off nicely. We start with praise, we end with praise. And it's worth remembering that the early church was used to regular prayer. They had the Psalms, for instance, and there are others. Paul sometimes quotes what seems to be an old hymn, and he's talking very early on. It's not the only prayer we should use, but perhaps a reminder of what our prayer should be like, beginning and ending with praise. So let's do that. Let's pray. O God who loves us, we praise your name for the wonder that you hear us when we call upon you. Amen.
Could I believe?
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.